The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The great I am. He does not change. Someone said, well, that was Jesus. Well, he's also God and the Lord. He's faithful. Can we hold on to that? Can we believe that and agree? Amen. God is faithful. In spite of it all. The one who never changes. If you were to look through your life, you can see every step of the way, what he's seen you through. And you're still here. And we're still here. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. All right, Father, I just give this time to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the entrance of your word. Thank you, Father, for light illumination. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement of scriptures. And thank you for hearts touched, impacted by your truth. And thank you, Lord, for that unshakable resolve to press in to you more and more and to press on in things relating to you, Lord, as empowered by your spirit. We love you, Lord. We honor you with our very lives, with my very life, Lord. You're faithful. Thank you, Abba. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew 7, and we don't need to turn. No need to turn. Matthew in chapter 7. In verse 24, Jesus was speaking. Essentially, he went on to say, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man. A wise man. Something describes this individual. Something describes this wise man. There is a way in which Jesus went on to not only portray, but to explain action, activity, motion by this wise man who did what? Who what? Built his house on the rock. And the rain descended. If we'll take care of that, please, expressly, whatever that is. Thank you so much. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it did not what? Fall. For it was what? Found on the rock. Luke puts it in this wise. It says, the wise man laid the foundation on the rock. And that's us, right? House on the Rock Church. Praise God. Friends, imagine if you will, a few years from now, or sometime in the future, imagine if you will, the Lord expressly leads and directs to build a structure just outside on this property. On that end, imagine if you, how many have been back that way? You've been back that way. Okay. Build something up. Build a structure, raise it up and for the work. And remember I said, imagine if you will. Now, do we, in hearing the Lord and following his bidding and his leading in that direction, can you conceive or conceptualize a scenario, a situation where we head out there and some way, somehow, just assume a foundation, imagine a foundation, and then begin to build? This morning, I want to share, teach, instruct along the lines of what I title, Sure Foundation. Sure foundation. Friends, one way or the other, there has to be a substructure. One way or the other, there has to be some sort of underpinning that is laid, pillar and post and concrete, and whether it's by slab or whatever you do, reinforced steels and whatnot. You have to set what? The foundation. You have to do what? Substructure. What's going to hold it up? What's going to make it stand? What's going to make it stick? What's going to make it stay? What's going to make it last? And then, once that is laid, you do what? Then you can begin to build. Today, I want us to consider, think upon, the foundation as it relates not just with reference to a building or a structure, but rather as it relates to our individual lives. Our lives, my life, your life. I want us to consider, I want us to ask, I want us to contemplate, ponder, take stock. What is your foundation? How is your foundation? Who is your foundation? Do you know your foundation? It is critical, it is important, it is pertinent, it is germane, it is instructive for us to know this in the times and the season in which we are in. So that way, regardless of whatever is going on in the world, the agenda or otherwise, we will not be swayed, we will not be moved. I'm saying this morning, it's important that we have a hold, a stranglehold on the foundation, on your foundation. How is that built? What does it look like? Is that being cared for and nurtured for? I can use different examples to try and paint the picture. But this is vital if we're going to maintain peace and joy and rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. And this time, in the midst of a constantly changing world and opposition from every angle, every corner, on the left, the right, the center, critics. People, anti-God, anti-Christ. Yeah. If we're going to be intentional, if we're going to be purposeful for the move of the Father in these times, then one thing that is important is to have a hold. Someone say hold. Not with your hands, but with your heart and with all that you are on your foundation. That way we won't be moved, we won't be swayed, we won't be deceived, we won't be tricked, we won't be tossed to and fro. Because right now, even in the body of Christ, the truth of God, the reality of who he is and his word is being toyed with and played with and just not in such great irreverence, if I could put it in that way. The word, the infallibility of God's word. Is it all true? Is it all real? Is it all inspired? And arguments and that don't have to do with that accord not with godliness. More and more secular. I'm not talking about this church. One in the body at large. What's your stance? How do you relate? Do you know your foundation? 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verse 19. We can turn there. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let he that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Someone says, oh, that was the King James Version. All right, I'm going to take it from the New King James. Let's bring it down a little. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're going to take the first portion of that pass, of that verse. I just want to take some time, break that down real quick. First off, we see very quickly as we look at that, there is what? There is a solid foundation. This is not just any foundation. This is not something that is assumed. You don't assume a foundation. You lay the foundation. You build the foundation. You put the foundation in place. There is a solid foundation. One. Number two, this foundation is of who? Is of God. Is of God. Number three, the foundation does what? Because it's of God, it does what? It stands. And in standing, this foundation has a seal, a distinguishing mark. Remember, friends, we're talking about in the individual life. And we're going to break this down. Has a seal, there's a distinguishing mark, there's a feature, there's a mark of ownership. We can put it in different ways. And as a result of this mark, the Lord does what? Knows. The Lord knows those who are his. What is this foundation? The foundation. What is this foundation in the individual life that stands sure, that is so secure? What is this foundation? Apostle Paul put it in this wise, in this way, in this manner. Succinctly, very briefly. 1 Corinthians 3:11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 11. It says what? Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, that is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. And he said this within the context of, oh, having told the Corinthians, oh, you guys are yet carnal, and, you know, there's divisions among you. There's division amongst you. There's rifts and argument, all of that amongst you. One says I'm of Paul, one says I'm of Apollos, and all of that. He says, who cares? What does God care? What are those individuals other than it is by them you heard what? The truth, and then what? Believed. So with the foundation, how does the foundation come to be? How does this foundation come into place? How does this foundation get established in the first place? Number one, and we can take time out and study it out by context. Number one, this foundation comes into place by the preaching of the gospel. Number one, the gospel must go out. The gospel is preached. And number two, the gospel is received and thereby what? Also believed. You must receive the gospel. That is, you must believe the gospel. What is the gospel? Begs the question. What is the gospel? Turn or burn. Turn or burn. Now, however enticingly or melodramatically or, you know, high in a soprano voice, however you say that and bring it out by conveyance, that's not the gospel. That's not the crux. That's not at the heart of the gospel. It's not. Now, hear me say this, friends. There is a burn, to be honest about, there is a burn. Do we know that there is a burn? Let's lay it out. Because amongst other things, Jesus taught about the reality of hell. He didn't just mention it once. He didn't just mention it twice. He didn't just say it three times, just in passing. No. He taught and he believed that reality and he taught it in various ways. And described it, amongst other things, as a place of everlasting torment. A place of unquenchable fire. To all those who do not believe him, believe in him. Now, I didn't put the words in there. And this is Jesus speaking. Now, the focus and thrust of this message is not about hell. So notice I didn't give you the quotations for that. So if you want to dig in, but Jesus said it, you can take my word for that. He spoke in hell. But that's not at the heart. That's not the centrality of the gospel. What then is the gospel? We're in Timothy. Let's go a few verses back. We're at 2 Timothy. We're at chapter 2. If we take it to verse, go up to verse 8. Thereabouts. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Paul speaking to his son Timothy, the son in the Lord Timothy. He said, remember! That's what I'm trying to, amongst other things, cause us to do today. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So therefore, what is central, what is pivotal, what is at the heart of the gospel is who? Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. And what about him? He says it right there. He was raised from the dead, which brings up and connotes and paints the picture of the reality of the fact that he was crucified and he died. This was no fainting spell, or this was no... It's funny the things that creep into the church. Jesus is at the center. What about him? He died. He was raised from the dead. Therefore, more specifically, it's Christ and him crucified. To what end? What is the purpose? Why is that message important? Look at verse 9. For which I suffer trouble, Paul speaking, as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So the end, the purpose of it is salvation. That's why that he died and that he rose and he resurrected and sent into glory. That's to hear that message, to believe that message, and thus be saved. That foundation is laid. That foundation is laid. Christ, Jesus, is laid in the individual life, in the individual heart. How so? A portion we love so well in this body, and it thrills me every time in this body. Romans 10:8-10. Romans 10:8-10. From the earlier verse says, "For what says it? The word is nigh thee in your heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith that which we what? Which we preach." This is what we preach. We preach the gospel, and the gospel means what? Good news. Good report. Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God did what? Raised him up from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes what? Unto righteousness, resulting in righteousness. That's why and how you are righteous. Are you seeing the particularity of the foundation? What comes with that? It's solid stuff. With the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, resulting in salvation. And it's not, I say this from time to time and sometimes get some flack, it's not about the confession of sins, which you knew, which you didn't know, which you were intentional about, which you weren't intentional about. No. The centrality is still what? Jesus. As Lord. Lord, you are Lord in my heart, in my life, over my everything about you. Receiving him. You confess, declare him Lord. Intentionally, purposefully, with all that you are. I want us to take a moment. We're taking stock. We're gazing intentionally at the foundation. I want us to take a moment, maybe perhaps a little less than a minute. I want us to close our eyes, every soul, everyone. Close your eyes, if you will. Someone says, pastoral injunction? No, that wasn't a pastoral injunction, but close your eyes. And take a moment and just think back to that moment when you believed, when you received Jesus, when you became a partaker of the divine nature of Abba. Think back. Do you see it? Where you were? As far as location, place, country, wherever, room, whatever, out in the fields, whatever. A moment in time when everything changed irrevocably. Hold that picture, hold that memory for another moment. You may open your eyes. Don't ever forget that. Don't let that ever slide to the side or just be a foregone, part of a foregone era, or you know, for some it may have been 40 years ago, 50 years ago, a long time ago. But something happened to you. You came in living contact with the divine. You became a new creation, a new creature. In that moment, the foundation was laid in your life. Solid. You're united, one with him now, in him and with him. Winds, storms, billows of life, things that hit. You have communion, you have fellowship, you have relationship with him now. For those or for anyone who couldn't think back, or you know in your heart you haven't had that encounter with the divine, with Jesus himself, don't let today go by. Without being certain and sure that that foundation is laid in your life and is unshakable, movable, solid. It says in Hebrews 11:6, no need to turn there. It says, for without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, two quick things in this. Number one, that which forms the purpose or drive of our life, of our living, of our existence, is not by any stretch of thought, thinking, or imagination, is not the things. Is who? Is God himself. The rewarding is what? Permit my very loose grammar, I'm not that, you know, good with that. And I hate to put it this way, don't get offended, it's a side product. It's something that it's bound to be. It's something that follows. But all the while, it's about him. It's about God. All the while the foundation was laid, purpose, reason, cause, everything goes back to God, is about God himself. You know why this is instructive in knowing what your foundation is like and the unique properties that make up your foundation? At the start, I mentioned some things, and Pastor Mike can help me more with that, and construction and stuff from back in the day, and all, you know, the concrete and the, you know, rebars and all of that stuff. It's good to know. So you look back, not just, to remember a good time and something. For me, I had healing the day I got saved in January 1997, you know, and look back, and that's great, and that's awesome. That causes, I know there's no turning back. I know there's no going back. I know without a shade of doubt in my body, in my bones, in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit, there can't be a turning back. Because I know in him in whom I have believed, and he is faithful in spite of it all. Why this is important to know the properties, the unique properties of your foundation. When things start coming, all of a sudden, for example, if all of a sudden stuff, someone say stuff. If stuff begins to disappear or dissipate, or you no longer have access to stuff. I'm using the word stuff because it's kind of catchy. If all the while, if you thought, oh, it's about the good life, it's about the, oh, enjoyment life, and, oh, that's what salvation is about, when the storm comes, when the billows come, when all of that comes, what happens? How will you stand? How will you remain unshaking? If you, it's not about the stuff. What if you don't have access anymore? Or you can't fly anymore. You used to fly the planes and enjoy, just go wherever you want. What if and when that is stopped, or if it ceases, or if you no longer have access to different things? And I can go with this into different aspects, but I don't want to go there, so that I'm not trying to, this is not about fear, or, you know, but no, and we don't get that here. We don't have that here. We don't take that here. We don't allow that in here. But that's why I'm not going into the specifics particularly. But what if that happens? There's still the foundation. And so you're not moved. That's what engenders you. That's what gives you the drive, the zeal, and the zest to still be standing and remain what? I am joyful. My goodness. How do you love Romans 12 and verse 12? Put it down. How do you love Romans 12, 12? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation or trial or testing. Patient in trial, testing, tribulation. Oh, I love the other part. We'll continue some other time. Continuing instant in prayer. There's a way to address, attack, respond to stuff that comes our way. But you will not be best positioned or best placed if you don't cultivate the habit of intentionality in sitting and taking stock of your firm, solid foundation. I can use different words. You can stare at it, you can look at it, you can ponder on, on your foundation. And thank God all the while for what He has done in your life. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, wow. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So in truth, and I say this unashamedly, or I'm not bashful about this. In truth, and I love you guys so much, my friends. I love you as a family. In truth, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about what? Him. I'm sorry to say it that way. But it's about God. It's about God. And God, in turn, in that place of communion, in turn, He can turn our hearts and, you know, He directs us to people, because we know how He flows. It's about people and blessing people and loving people and preaching the gospel and telling the truth, not speaking the truth in love and not telling lies and all of that stuff. He turns your heart to people. But in the first degree, in the first instance, it's all about God. That is what the Father desired from the very start. And all through, because God is consistent. God is unchanging. I am the Lord, I change it not. I don't change. First Timothy in chapter 2. First Timothy 2, we can open there. First Timothy in chapter 2, from verse 3. This is good and acceptable before God, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, or the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, who? The man Christ Jesus. That was the Father's desire. Now men be saved. That all be saved. And let me put this in there. Some have taken that portion to say that all are saved or all will be saved. But he goes on to say, oh, but there's one mediator. So we're not taking a portion and abstraction and building, and there's a lot of that. So part of taking stock of your foundation is to be grounded in what? In the truth. In truth. You know what? Let's go up a few verses. I'm trying to express the heart of the Father. This is the heart of the Father. It says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, we're at 1 Timothy in chapter 2. We jumped back all the way to verse 1. Therefore, I exhort for, because this is important. What is good and acceptable before God? You know, and there was something I used to think it was, but he opened my eyes to see, there's more. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for what? All men. So he starts with all. Then he goes down to some specifics. For kings, for all, and all who are in authority. Are we seeing the alls in here? All men, all who are in authority. So it didn't say, oh, the ones we like, the ones we don't like, the ones we love, the ones we don't love, the ones that look like us, the ones that don't look like us, the ones that may feel like us, seem like us, you know, act like. No. All. For what purpose or cause? That, and that's, this is how I saw it, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Good stuff. Great. There's more. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable. What is good and acceptable? I used to think the clause, I saw it way back in, I saw the clause, oh, that we may lead a quiet, that's why we should just pray for them so that we're able to, the gospel can, we can do the gospel, we can do something. No. We're praying for all. Why? Because God's heart, the Father's heart, is that all to be what? Saved. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is only in one person. The truth is what? In Christ Jesus. Concerns Christ Jesus. Is about Christ Jesus. Is Jesus. There is one God. And one mediator. Between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. So with the gospel message. Reconciliation. Is in full play and full swing. This is the reason, this is the cause. So, part of the all, you know, I'll say this and then I'll bring this home for today. So I can pray for the president, right? Awesome messages. Pastor Rose in the past few weeks, awesome, powerful. Pray for the president. As hard, when she said it, you know, it's kind of hard, heavy, weighty. Oh, you can pray for the president. Yes, President Biden. You can pray for the governor, Governor Whitmer. And you can pray for all those who are in authority. Why? Because many they are that are not saved. And also many they are in power and all of that, in authority, that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. In other words, that have appearances of godliness, but within divine, the principle of divine life is not there. So, regardless of wherever, pray for all. That we come to a knowledge of the truth. I mean, I just say this by way of encouragement. It's good to pray and it's awesome. Supplications, thanksgiving, and all of that. But also, part of we appreciating and understanding this foundation and being entrenched with our foundation is to also see that we're not also just praying, but we're active as agents of change in the times in which we live by the self-same message by which we got what? Solid. We got a foundation, which is the gospel. in word, that is in sharing, Ifoma, thank you for your class, in conduct, in conversation, by lifestyle. Because we understand from scripture, Paul said, only let your conversation become as it is, the what? The gospel of Christ. Only let your conduct, only let your lifestyle, it has to portray it. It has to show it. You preach it. You preach it. And some people have had a problem with I won't share the quote, but it has something to do with, okay, where necessary, preach the gospel, where necessary, use what? But the gospel is by the preaching, so you must speak. But in tandem with, there's a correlation. You're speaking and you're living it out. So it's not just, oh, pray for labor is good. It's great. Yes, laborers, awesome. I pray that way too. But I'm also encouraging you also, me included, we all are also part of what? The Lord's army. For this end, we've been activated. Sometimes we don't know that we are in battle because we get comfy and chilled and do the journey of living. And it's awesome to do that. I have a family. I love them daily. As we all do, we all have family and friends and all of that. But you're here for a reason. You're here for cause. To be alive to this call, this duty, this responsibility. And I will share my heart with you, friends. It is not hard. Overwhelmingly difficult. To say the name Jesus. In a time when many, even within the confines of the church, and my hands are with the quotes, don't really hold to the truth and reality that he, as he said in John 14:6, he is the way. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And try to say, oh, he is a way. No, he's not a way. He is the way. And not just a way, he's the truth. And indeed the life. And he says, no one, no man, no woman, no individual. Man. No wonder he was, I go through the Gospels and it looked like they were always trying to get him. Jesus, it looked like they were always trying to get him. They were so mad and angry at him. There's no one, man, no room for, you can't question, doesn't that sound like an absolute? No one comes to the Father except what? By me. Wow. So, in a nutshell, today I've asked, how is your foundation? What is your foundation? Do you know your foundation? It is solid. It is solid. But it's good for all of us to have our hearts and our minds and all that we are zoned in on the person of Jesus. There are many voices out there in the world today. And we cannot afford, we'll talk more next week, and we cannot afford to be swayed in different directions. Efficiency and effectiveness is being dumbed down if we're sidetracked by all that the enemy is trying to. Other foundation can no man lay, no man lay. than that which is laid. That is Christ Jesus. Man, there's a resolve that goes with knowing Him, and we'll get that. The Lord knows them that are His. Foundation of the Lord stands sure, solid. Having this sign, this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. Do you know that you are His? Do you know that He is yours? What is the conviction that you have on that? What is the assurance? What is the certainty that you have that come what may? The faithful one, the great I am, has you. And that you are kept secure. Shielded, protected. By Him. Can we all stand, please? He gave Himself a ransom to be testified in due time. And we all are called to testify of Him. We all are called to testify of Him. If you are here and you don't know Jesus, you're here this morning and you don't know your foundation, the foundation. This is your time, this is your hour. You don't have divine life coursing through you, the spirit impacted by life. Now I'd love for you to just gently make your way forward. Or you say, Pastor, I'm having a hard time or challenge with being able to underscore, being able to gaze at or even know the properties of this foundation. There's difficulty, there's challenges there. I don't get it. It's hard. Also, make your way forward this morning. Don't leave this place without seeing me or the pastor. I'm going to remain up here. Also, you hear, you say, well, the joy of knowing Him is just absent or lacking or in abeyance. Come forward. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the firm foundation, the sure foundation, the solid foundation, who is Jesus, entrenched in our lives, resident in our beings. Living, dwelling, abiding, ruling, reigning in our hearts. Thank you for the gift of life. We love you, Lord. And we are surrendered to you. Holy. Thank you for causing us to live victorious in these times and for causing us to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse generation, holding forth the word of life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for causing us all have a truly blessed week, full of victories and testimonies at every turn. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, friends. Thank you so much. Praise God.